another edition of the Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with Matt Cove, talks some basketball, and a very new special co-host. It's a three-way. Will, we got Will out of hiding. Will went into hiding for the entire basketball season, and now that it's almost March, he has shown up again. Will, welcome back.
Thanks, man. I got my hair cut just for this. Wow, I'm so excited. I represent the fan base that shows up mid-February and says, how's everything going? I don't know why you guys are thinking about firing Kevin Keats, man. I see we got plus 500 record. I'm happy.
It's the Kevin Keats sitting in the fire, everything's fine meme waiting to happen. But yeah, got the full gang here. This is our first three-way in a long time. Everybody loves three-way, so welcome, guys. I appreciate y'all on here. I wanted to start with something, probably a topic we have never broached on this podcast, swimming, and the absolute hose job that Owen Lloyd, NC State swimmer, won the ACC. I'm not sure what race it was celebrating. He's up in emotions. He was sitting on the rope, like the lifeguards yelled to the pool, like, get off the rope. He was on the thing in the middle, and then fell over into his teammate's lane as he was celebrating, and then got disqualified for being in another swimmer's lane while others were swimming. So they were so far ahead of everybody else. They were 50 yards ahead of everybody else that he was celebrating in his friend's lane, who was also done, and he got DQ'd, and his friend ended up winning. Like, it is one of the most ludicrous things that I've ever seen in college athletics. And at some point, some adult in the room needs to say, all right, well, this is ridiculous. You know, we know there's a rule here, but this does not apply. It's crazy. I don't know. I felt so bad for the kid, and you can see how much like angst he was in after that and how upset he was. I don't know. Did y'all see that video? Did y'all see that?
Yes, 65 seconds ago I saw it, and I agree with you, man. That's ridiculous. I mean, kind of reminds me. I remember my greatest accomplishment was one time in a soccer tournament. Our goalie was out of position. I was just literally standing in goal, and someone like could not have kicked a ball slower at the goal. And I just watched it come towards me, and instead of just kicking it, I just reached down and picked it up. I have no idea what was going through my brain. Complete short circuit. Got red carded, got thrown out of the tournament. And I remember crying violently about it, too. So I get it, man. Stupid effing rules. You know, you have a brain fart in a moment in sport. And to have that taken away from you is ridiculous. I mean, bravo to his teammate for hopefully following through and giving him that medal. But that's just insane. I mean, the worst part is watching him getting into the lane of a swimmer who's already completed. So it's not like he's interfering with anyone else's. So that's just wild, man.
Have you ever had a brain fart in a sporting event?
Never. I have. I've had plenty. I've had enough for all three of us.
I got thrown out of a Little League baseball game playing shortstop, and the play was over, and the kid was standing there, and I actually knew the kid. I don't remember how old it was, 10 or something. And I was joking around, and I tagged him and said, I got you, and I didn't have the ball. And the umpire was standing right behind me. He said, you can't do that. You're out of here. And he threw me out of the game. I was like, what? And he threw me out of the Little League baseball game. Unbelievable.
That doesn't sound like a power trip.
Yeah. I was 10 or 11. I was like, this is ridiculous. So stupid.
Oh my God.
This is also ridiculous. I feel for Owen Lloyd. That's unfortunate. Speaking of other stupid rules. Well, maybe not stupid rules. When's the last time y'all stormed a court?
Storming
or field
a field at University of Delaware when we went to a playoff game. Trying to think if we ever got on the court at State. You know, we were really not that great at basketball when I went there,
and still not very good.
There has been very few court storming moments. Trying to think. Yeah, that's actually funny. Yeah, definitely football. I've done it maybe multiple times now I think about it.
I've never stormed the court, but I was at that NC State UNCG game where Markel Johnson hit that like full court or half court shot to win it, and I just remember jumping over my seat onto like the little walkway and just running a almost complete lap around like that top floor, just going crazy. But that's probably the closest thing I've ever done.
You just want to get a Markell Johnson.
I was about to say, you thrive.
Dude, to this day, I still message him, and I'm waiting on my jersey. That is not a lie. I will show you the messages.
And he replies back? He's not like, dude, it ain't coming.
I did get a letter saying, like, please
stop. Cease and desist.
Yeah. No, he actually has responded to me once saying, like, I would love, like, a jersey or something like that. And yeah, I'm still waiting. It must have got lost in the mail.
Yeah, I was at the PNC sitting at this, you know, press row or whatever that table is. And when we beat Wake and all the students start rushing the floor and like, just like using my shoulders as catapults to get them onto the floor. Like that was the last time I've been involved in a court storming, but I was still just sitting in my seat. It's been a long time. There's a picture of, it was a Wolfpacker cover in 97 or 98. We beat FSU and the goalpost is coming down and there's a picture of it. And one of the girls I was with in my group was like, the pole was falling, like the goalpost was falling on her. And there's a picture and I'm like pushing her out of the way as this thing's coming down, about to crush her in the head. Yeah. That was probably my last court storming. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah. I mean, did we let people jump on the field after the Clemson win? Not this one, but the previous year. Was it two years ago?
Oh, I lied. I was on the field for the Carolina game when we won the last 2 minutes. Yeah. But I was already,
on the field, weren't you?
I was already on the sideline.
Yeah. That's not like a humble. Oh, yeah. I rushed the field from my sideline.
I didn't break my
pass.
Leg like old Greg did, but no. Yeah.
So you guys approve of storming or court storming?
I have no problem.
It's been
with
interesting.
It.
Like as I get older, I'm like, this is ridiculous. But as a kid, I was like, yeah, that was fun as hell.
Yeah.
I don't know where I stand right now with the whole Duke situation. Did he try to trick that white kid and then, you know, rolled his ankle and kind of got what he was coming? I don't know. It's kind of video is not very clear to me. I think you probably need to let the team get off the court somehow, but
pull the UNC, the Roy Williams, just leave your walk-ons out there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty
I think
much.
It's one of those things that like you see whatever you want to see. Cause like, it wasn't until that overhead shot. That's the one that's kind of like the most, I guess, telltale one of all the videos that you see. That's probably the one that you can make the argument that he, you know, pushed his arms out or tried to trip the guy or whatever.
It's probably AI generated.
Right. Or you could just say, you know, it was like a fight or flight moment for him. And, you know, he saw a bunch of kids running at him. And I don't know. I'm for court storming. And I think that this weird, like over the top, overdoing it from all these analysts is ridiculous.
Jay Billis continues his run of stupidity where he said, let them all rush to court and then just lock them on the court and give everybody a citation.
Like, yeah. I love it.
Seth Greenberg wants to.
You couldn't be
the
older, grumpier son of a bitch than that.
Well, right? Seth Greenberg wants to fine a school for court storming $1 million.
Well, isn't, I mean,
it just came out. So
now, state had a policy where if you rushed the football field, you were like permanently banned, right?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? There's like a time after there, like the last like 10 years, they said if you jump onto the field after the game, like you will be. I don't remember if you'd be fined, but I was pretty sure they said you like would be banned from like coming back to Carter-Friendly games.
Like, how the hell are they going to know if you come back to Carter-Finley?
I mean, I don't know if you're a season ticket holder, maybe. I don't know. I don't care. My thing is like, look, if you are moved in the moment, passion arises, and you jump onto the field or jump on the court, man, just do it. It's nice, like you said, when you're young, especially for students. I mean, I guess it's weird if like a 60-year-old dude like runs down and jumps on, but I don't care. It's sports. That's the whole point. You're paying for this wonderful experience to actually give a shit. And God, I was so far into it, Mom. Sorry, Mom. But I don't know. Like,
I feel like the last couple of years has just been all about the players. Like, how can we make sure the players get paid and paid accordingly and all this stuff? It's like, this is the one thing that the fans have. Like, just let them have it. Like, it's always been to accommodate the players the last couple of years. This is a moment I guarantee you that all the people that were at that game are going to remember the rest of their lives.
Like, yeah, especially the guy that I guess killed Filipowski. Is that
yeah? Yeah, yeah. Sprained his ankle. He'll be playing.
Well, that's the thing, though. They couldn't even get their story straight on like what the injury was. You had people trying to be the first one to report like torn ACL out for the year. It's like, no, it wasn't. Stop. You know. And then you had the coach not even get the injury right. So it's like a lot of overreacting off the bat.
I actually am honestly always surprised during the court storm that the team usually gets off unscathed anyways. Like I always, most people don't care about going and interacting with the Duke player or whomever, right? You're there to celebrate with your team and you try to get to your team instead. So I don't know. Every time I watch it on a video, like you're kind of right, Evan, like as you get older, every time I watch it now, it feels like claustrophobic thinking of like, I just played this game. I am tired as hell. Like, I don't want to be surrounded by 300 people and mobbed in. And I don't know. We should ask the players. Let them...
It's funny that Seth Greenberg said that because the SEC only fines schools $100,000 for when they, you know, when 80,000 people rushed a football field. He wants $1 million fine for college basketball.
Is Tennessee still looking for their goalposts?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, that was the old man get off my lawn segment. What's next?
Yeah. But. We weren't though. Like I don't. It's crazy. I don't know. Like they can't keep taking away traditions and things from.
Is the complaint that like Duke gets court stormed a bunch or something? Like why is this even a thing? There.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter. I think there's been 17 court stormings this year, and this is the one incident. Like, I don't know. It's because it's Duke.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Anyway, those are some weird topics to start out with.
Talking about basketball?
Yes. I do have to say I invited Josh Goodson on the pod yesterday, and he was going to come. I got held up in a meeting that I couldn't get out of, and it just ran super long. So I'll get him on later in the week, maybe tomorrow after this game tonight. But I know some people were asking about when's the Josh pod coming, and it's coming. But it was on me that. Why we didn't get it out yet. While we're still avoiding talking about basketball, spring practice started today. Is everybody else super amped?
I don't know who any of our backup quarterbacks are, but I'm very excited. We finally have skill players, Evan.
We do have skill
players. More than one.
Rumors that... Noah Rogers, Kevin Concepcion, Jolly, and Dakari Collins were the starting four skill guys. Wideouts, tight ends, whatever you want to call them. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me excited. I guess actually there's probably no other alternative, right? I was thinking, is it Jolly or Jolie? It's Jolie, right? Because I feel like I was making Jolene probably. Jokes.
Yeah, there's one L, so it's probably Jolie.
Yeah. I was kind of saying, like, you know, usually when Dave has a transfer come in, he makes them sit at, like, number two, right, and, like, earn his spot. But it's interesting that Jolie's already just basically kind of de facto into the spot. I would have thought maybe they would use
He's got more production than Noah Rogers, right? Why did you make
Noah
Rogers
know. I know. I was – well, you know, I was thinking they'd use, like, Vereen or someone, you know, for sticking around. You know, that's usually the way it goes. But maybe Vereen's injured. Who knows? Like, I saw that the center was injured from Notre Dame. Yeah. Don't know what that's about.
Yeah, he was in a team picture on social media in a sling. Didn't look good. So he's out for the spring, it looks like.
Great.
But, yeah, I mean, whatever.
Come on, Coach Thunder.
Bring in more offensive linemen, right? That's what we've been saying for I don't know how many years now. Like, just you can never have too many. Bring them all in.
Yeah, I agree. Stuff like this happens.
I'm excited though, man. Like it's 186 days from football, and the excitement of, and maybe it's just the deflecting of basketball, but the excitement of what the potential that the offense has is phenomenal, man. And like I can't wait to hear some stuff from the spring and you know see the reports of who's doing well and all that stuff. Like it's coming. It's fun. It feels like it's going to be fun for the first time in a while. Like, out of the spring, you feel like this is not just a fluke, right?
Yeah, I have zero expectations for the defense this year. But I like, have the expectations of, like, a Ferrari fan. for the offense right now. I just expect us to be the fastest, the best. We'll be unstoppable. You've never seen something like us on the field before. And then we're probably just going to average like 28 points a game. It's probably not going to be anything.
I was thinking about that today when I was driving home. Like, I really hope they just light people up and don't stop. Right? I mean, that's what I'm looking for. That's probably optimistic. And given what we've seen, they will probably score just enough like we like to do. Just be fun. I'm going to get my number 2 tattoo like right across my chest for Grayson McCall.
Oh, my God.
Grayson McCall came out as number 2. Can you get a mullet
like hanging off the end of the 2 to like really where it rounds up for the top of the 2? Just have a mullet come off right there.
I'm going to draw that logo right now. That's a great idea.
I really missed my calling. Marketing was really where where my brain power should have been used.
Silly logo ideas. Some other football news. NC State hired Ole Miss personnel assistant Alex Falk. He's going to be director of recruiting. Anytime you get somebody from, you know, Lane staff who emphasizes recruiting, I feel like that's got to be good. I don't know much about him, but I like where he came from.
I assume he brought hottie totties to the interview.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone. And they also hired Austin Shelton from Texas as a new director of player personnel, filling Mercy Felice's role. I like it because he's a Billy Glasscock guy, and we've talked about this before, many times before, how the talent level derailed when Glasscock left for Texas. And we wrote about it and retweeted that piece a while ago. It still stands today. So you get a Glasscock guy, I got to feel like that's pretty good. Should be a pretty good hire. And I imagine there's probably this part of the connection there. So 2 new hires for the football staff today. Looks pretty good.
I was going to say
go ahead.
The one thing that I was looking at Dave's kind of post practice transcript, or maybe it was pre, but I think it was post. And he was highlighting like, hey, they have like 32 new dudes here between transfers and freshmen. Yeah. Which is kind of crazy to think about. Over a third of the team, really, of scholarship players. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they gel. And like I was saying, you know, there's going to be a lot of new faces all over the place, you know, but also missing some faces that have been here what seemed like forever, like Peyton and those guys. So sad. Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see. But like I said, he seemed to be optimistic about it, but he was also kind of like, dude, these guys have no idea where to go, what they're doing, who's, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, they just picked up the Auburn kid, Cam Riley, and moved Sean Brown down from safety to linebacker, which is, we talked about at the end of last year, he felt like he was a linebacker playing safety, just the way he played. So good to see that move. It makes me wonder about safety depth, though. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I think more from a defensive size where all the questions are going to be, right? There's talent there, but how are they going to come together? Who's going to step up to be like the man? You know, what are the defensive rotations going to be? It should be really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just going to be fascinated to see are we going to be a little bit more efficient or more scoring on offense, right, which puts the defense back on the field more. They're clearly not going to be as experienced. Like, so are we going to see kind of like one of those almost like classic kind of Big 12 composition style teams from what we're used to seeing, right, where it's just all gas on offense? Or are they going to do what they've done historically, which is they try to protect the defense when it's got a bunch of inexperienced players? But now you've got at least maybe a more improved skill set than I think we've ever really had in the Doran tenure overall. So maybe the efficiency and ability to kind of drag it out on offense and maximize the clock while just kind of just grinding people to death and scoring. That's what I hope for. I hope we're about to get just like kind of an unhinged Anai offense that's just trying to eat up clock and just mess with your head with movement. That's all I want.
Yeah, agree. I thought the other interesting thing football related that came out today is a story from, I guess, ESPN, where UNC is essentially telling the Big Ten SEC that we're a package deal with NC State in expansion. And somebody in the pod chat said it best, and it's a quote, carry us onward, you Argyle twats. And I just thought that was the funniest thing I read in like 2 weeks. That was great.
Like, where was that published?
Let me see what the story is. Some Brad Crawford reported it on Twitter. It is NNO said that. And then somebody else said in the chat too, like state got boned by the board of trustees and board of governors back in the 90s with the Valvano stuff. I have no problem with them being, you know, our saving grace and forcing a package deal this time around. Like, it's retribution well deserved. And I agree. I think it's great. I don't know what's going to happen ever, but at least that being tied to the brand everybody seems to want is can't be a bad thing for us. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, hey, you get their basketball and our football comes along to balance it out so you get one complete team. That's how people should view us. You know, just ignore them on in the fall and ignore us during the spring. That seems
I always said that if the state of North Carolina had one program, it'd be really good. It would be really good.
Oh my God.
We've done all kinds of things.
Could you imagine like the weird tailgating scene of us being like, I guess we're all on the same team now.
Red and white Argyle, like
whatever, man. We'll go to the golf course. We'll all make a deal. It'll be fine.
Whatever he needs to win. Like, I would take it if that's what it required to win. Yeah. All right, basketball. I guess we got to talk about it. The pack actually tips off here in 10 minutes in Tallahassee. Four games left on the schedule. Will, what's your analysis here on the basketball season?
Wow. Thank you for reaching out to me. I have not looked at any KenPom metrics. I don't need them. My eyes are all I need. And what I see is a poorly disciplined, inefficient team that, man, it just feels like if we were like 5% improved on a basketball IQ, and that includes players and coaches, I feel like this team would be one in the tournament and probably like in real contention for like a pre-ACC tournament season title. I've only really tuned in for the last three or four games, which probably are like a perfect synopsis of the season. I think I first jumped back in with Pitt and then a few of the other games. And it was just, I mean, man, when you watch it, it's like, okay, free throws, that's been a problem for years with Kevin. inbound plays and tight possessions, same stuff. You'd see some great plays. I love seeing like the defense of some guys, but then you see them like brain fart a play later. So it's just maddening to kind of watch. But at the same time, like they're in it, they're trying really hard. It's close at the end of these games, but all the just inefficiencies and just minor choices from earlier in the game just compound with this team, and they just seem to never get out of their way. I guess also I completely missed it. Is there a reason that DJ Burns is so out of shape? Was he like hurt, injured, illness, something?
Is there a reason? No.
Okay. But that's where I kind of come back to is like, one, I don't understand how, I guess when he's on the court, how we're not just running everything through him while he's there. But also I couldn't stop thinking that, I guess it was the Syracuse game when he got that flagrant foul. And I was just like, you know, I feel like if you were just in shape, you would not have made that foul. You would have just been like, either let him get the layup or you wouldn't do something stupid there. That was like a 5-point swing and completely changed the dynamic of that game. And so I think that kind of just encapsulated the season for me in four games. I have no idea what you guys were watching before this, but I don't know. I guess my other last thought, because I'm going to stop talking so Matt and the experts can talk, is learn to schedule better opponents in the preseason so that, or the OOC, so that when we get here and you're above 500 and what, fifth in the standings right now for the ACC, you are firmly in contention in the NCAA. I don't understand the scheduling philosophy. I'd rather have two more losses overall if I got one decent win and could say I've got the strength of schedule to support me. I tell you what, like I have no interest in watching us beat up on the Sisters of the Poor in the out-of-conference schedule. So if you want more eyeballs on TV, like schedule better. And if you want to actually be in the postseason, schedule better, because I think Keats would probably have been in multiple times now if he had just had a decent schedule. And that's all I got to say.
I got an interesting tweet a couple weeks back about Keats' scheduling philosophy that I think I put in the pod chat. I will send you, not tweet, a DM from somebody who would know. Yeah, it's worth it. I'll resurface it in the pod chat for you. But it is interesting, and it aligns perfectly with what you just said. And Matt's been saying the same thing for at least the last 2 years now about, you know, the schedule and the lack thereof competition. We've been inconsistent. So your 4-game sampling that you've watched is probably plenty to understand how inconsistent this team has been. Matt, right? Greed?
I don't know. It just seems like every time we say something that's factual, it just comes off as everybody thinks
the game was cool.
We got a lot of good feedback in the last episode, right? We were very honest. And I'll say this again because somebody else said, you know, I like your podcast. Sometimes you guys are doom and gloom. Like, maybe, but I try to just be honest. And if I'm feeling doom and gloom, that's what I'm feeling. Like, I can't help it. I want us to win, but do I have hope that we're going to win a lot of games?
Preparing for what was supposed to be last night's episode, I was jotting down some notes and stuff I wanted to talk about. And one thing that I made sure to write down was just kind of a question kind of to everybody is, you know, why is everybody so overtly positive towards this entire experience and this coach for an experience that has not been even somewhat positive, I guess would be my question. So as much as people want to say doom and gloom, point me to something that's not, you know, point me to something that's super positive. Hey, they beat Duke or Carolina once and that was fun. All right, next. That's your bar. Then that's your bar. Then by all means, what are we being positive for? When we win something, I'll be positive. But until then, you're chasing this ghost of 30 years ago NC State basketball.
Yeah. I guess.
Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, my feel is there was certainly some bonding across the fan base of surviving the NCAA investigation and not letting it just like absolutely train wreck the first couple years. So I do think everyone was kind of banded together in those moments. And, you know, the first year was, I think that was his best year, right? I mean, just overall, I can't remember the numbers. I may be wrong there.
His first year was really good, and the past year that he just had with Jarkel Joyner and
I guess like his first year compared to that last year with Mark was it felt like fun. It was exciting. You know, you felt like, oh hey, we got this upside. Like this was like a buy low and, you know, potential to sell high type candidate. And so I think for the first year, everyone was kind of like, hey, just wait. Let's be patient. There was some bad luck with injuries. Like, I get the concept of why people would be like, stay positive and keep going. But I mean, in the end, like, I know people will say, like, it doesn't matter if it's year 7 or year 1. Like, my thing is just almost every year, it seems like the team just doesn't seem like they are well prepared. So like when they front run on someone, it's great. It seems like the one thing that they're prepared to do is just try really hard, but not try effectively, smart. Like it's just, it seems like anytime like this season when I would watch, like we would get close and tie it up or be right about to tie it up. And we would just freak out and like rush ourselves. Like we have no patience. I don't know, but I just don't know what has been positive about the tenure, I guess. Like, you got a couple tournament appearances that flamed out terribly. You haven't gotten to a finals in the ACC tournament.
Like, you are currently 67-70, and that includes ACC tournaments under Kevin Keats.
Well, you know, Dave Doran has a terrible record, too, like, you know, from that perspective. Well,
this goes back to my whole fool's gold point. You know, it's 67-70, mediocre. That's not good. Everybody's saying, well, they got 9 wins in the ACC. Those 9 wins include teams that are 11th, 13th, 15th, 12th, 14th, 11th. And one of those, you know, key wins that everybody likes to point to is Virginia, who's not even in the tournament right now. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, they got 9 wins, but what's the value of those 9 wins? Not much.
But isn't that crazy that UVA is third in this conference, 11-6, and is not in the tournament? Like, I almost feel like
it is crazy, yes.
I don't understand how, like, the ACC was just, quote-unquote, like, overnight turned into a bad conference. And
no, see, that I also wrote that down too. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
But oh,
the reason
you're
that
good.
the reason that people think that the ACC is a quote unquote bad conference is because it lost its spark, it lost its pizzazz in Kay, Roy, and Boeheim when they all three left the conference. It's just a different flavor of the ACC that people aren't used to seeing. It is so amazing to me that people are going to say, you know, Duke and UNC aren't the teams that they used to be, but they're right now 9th and 10th and 1st and 2nd in the ACC. So sure, they're not at the very, very top, but they're damn near close to it.
And frankly, it doesn't really matter until tournament time anyways, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but
a not great UNC team went to the Final Four, right? No, actually went to the championship game, right? Like, I mean, I can't remember how the tournament played out last year, but my whole thing is just like we seem to do pretty well when we're playing against other people in the postseason, so I'm not sure why we get this rep. I was just going to say before I forgot, like – you were listing off the 9-7 record, and it's like I think the whole point, right, is 9-7. Okay, great, you're above 500, and yes, you have this opportunity to go on a run here. First, finish the run and show us the indication that there's something there. But two, like you go back and look at it with, you know, Pitt, Wake, you know, a couple other games, Syracuse, right? Like this team should be three games up on where they are right now. They should be 12-4 or whatever that turns out to be.
And you'd be having a completely different conversation right now.
And all those games were like nut punches. Pitt, 3 points. Wake, 4 points. And then Syracuse, 4 points. Like, and that's where I said it's just over the years, I'm just so tired of seeing us lose these games on the margins against other teams that are, we'll call them the bubble teams inside of the ACC, where you need to beat those teams to have a great year. And we just have struggled to do that. And I get it. It's harder maybe now in this era with NIL in some capacity, right? You're rebuilding the roster constantly, but we thought that was going to be Keith's specialty. And he does seem to find like absolute murderers at scoring like almost year in and year out, you know, Horn. I don't know. Was Horn like this all season or did I just like tune in at the right time?
He just kind of really turned it on when it mattered most. Okay. But that's the crappy part is that it's a flavorless filet mignon. All right, it's nice. It's a good steak, but all you did was put salt and pepper on it.
Well, first,
I can't even get excited about it anymore.
Don't
so
even.
What?
Do not belittle salt and pepper on a steak, my friend. That's all you need for a steak. Anything else is nonsense. And also, filet mignon is the most boring cut of meat there is. Get yourself a ribeye. Live a little bit. Or if you're a cheaper man, get the chuck eye. That's what I've been doing the last couple weeks.
Going back to Matt's question, though, I think it's confirmation bias. Why do people? They want to, you know, they bought in and they want to stay bought in and they want to believe they were right, right? So they're going to adjust their picture. I mean, it's hard to grip reality and say, all right, well, I was wrong about this and admit that. The other part is, you know, for me, it's hard to be positive for these games because I don't know what team's going to show up. Like, I want to win. I'm going to watch. But being so inconsistent where you're – I mean, you might play well one night and not play well the other night. And, like, you just – it's there's no level of consistency. It's not like you're going to get 3 in a row and then, you know, maybe they might lose one. It's like it's a coin flip. I don't know how to really get positive about that. Like, I just –
the starting five is a coin flip. We don't even know who starts half the time.
Yeah.
That's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's
That's just my thing is that, and yeah. Again, it's just like, I just don't understand how people are so overtly always looking at a half glass full when you have no tournament wins. You have not even sniffed anything past the second round in the ACC tournament. You, every time that you are ranked, you really fizzle out real quick. It's the same joke told over and over again, and it's not funny. So what's there to be positive about?
Well, I tell you what.
I mean, we don't have to be doom and gloom. Like, I don't think we're doom and gloom. I just think we're more realistic.
We're just not blowing smoke up people's butts all the time. Like,
correct.
It's okay to say, like, hey, this didn't work. Next.
Yeah. That technician article you guys were talking about last pod really...
Oh, God. Don't start.
Really drove me up the wall, though. I mean, Evan and I talk about it all the time. Like, the we don't have money, or the, oh, who are we going to get thing just drives me nuts. There's so much money that has just been sitting in this fan base. Just look at the last football recruiting class. Like, that was all... A lot of that was driven by, one, a little bit of success on the field, but two, a huge investment out of nowhere from the fans, because the coaches finally said, hey, would you mind giving us some money right now? And it totally paid off. So NC State's fan base has kind of delivered the money anytime it was needed. And two, like, I don't understand this perception that people wouldn't want to coach here. Like, an ACC school, you get paid a lot of money, you compete with great teams, and quite frankly, you have an insane fan base that's just ready to go. You just have to actually come and give them the goods, right?
Passionate fan base, too.
Yeah, like, everyone was showing up when Gottfried started out here. Everyone was showing up when Kevin stayed here. The problem is, as a tenure goes on, if you haven't given something of real merit, everyone starts saying, okay, well, like, what are we doing here? Because we are pumping money to you guys to run this department, and you're not giving us what we want. And, I mean, in basketball, it's pretty damn simple. Like, you got to be highly competitive at the end of the season so that you have a double bye in the ACC tournament, and then you can go and win the damn thing. And we just haven't been given that. What's the last time we even got close? Sidney Lowe? I remember I was on a fucking cruise ship, and we lost that game. Oh, I was surrounded by UNC fans. It was, like, the worst moment of my life. But that's the thing. It's like, that's the last time I remembered. And I used to be diehard about basketball until probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I just said, this is just not worth it. The heartburn every night I'm getting watching this team, it just isn't fun. And especially the length of the season, things like that, right? That's why I kind of adopted that I'm going to show up in February. Because it's just not worth me getting invested. It's, unless you're going to be awesome. If you're going to be awesome from the get-go, you'll get a fan like me. And everyone else will come back. And, oh, my God. We can't get anyone. Why should we think we can do better?
That's such a loser mentality.
You should have done better. You know, if you had done better, you would have been at the UNC newspaper, I guess.
Jeez.
That was brutal. That was brutal. Speaking of, I wanted to turn the game on, and
I can't get it on.
It's Houston, Cincinnati, end of that game, two minutes left, which is like the other day we went to watch, and this is part of it too, and this is nothing like NC State related, but it's more ACC related. State was playing Syracuse, was the last game, and they were playing the Clemson-Duke women's lacrosse game. It was 19-9 with 4 minutes left, and they would not cut over to the basketball game on the ACC network. They waited. We missed the first 4 minutes of the basketball game, I think, because they had the lacrosse game on.
That's the spring game all over again.
It is. It's like, what do you do? What is the ACC doing? Like, who's asleep at the wheel there? It says, all right, we probably should put the money sport on
as opposed to lacrosse. No, you don't want to watch this. These guys are 6.5-point favorite. Why would you want to watch this? It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah. That was ridiculous. That was one of the all-time ACC ones. Oh, they moved our game to ESPN News right now. It's 1-0 Florida State. Yeah. A minute into the game.
Game over. That's not a good trend for us.
Yeah, trending down. All right, we're going to get into some questions. And Matt, unless you got anything on your agenda, because I know we've been rambling.
No, you're good. Go for it.
We got a ton of questions. I'm going to save some for Josh, but I'm going to rattle through the basketball-related ones right now. It's interesting. How confident are we that a move will be made at the end of the year, assuming, you know, a move being Kevin Keats is given a U-Haul and tent packing?
We can only hope.
I don't know. Like, I feel like there's been enough apathy. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I told you last episode, I think this is what's going to happen. He's going to go on a little NIT run, and people are going to buy back in, and I think he'll be the coach next year. And then we're going to have the same conversation. He just needs to win next year, and he'll be fine. And we won't. So
no one that's my
basic on it. Any level of success on the NIT, then I'm out. Like,
that's my actual guess. I think we're going to go on a little NIT run, and people are going to kid themselves, and we're going to be right back here a year later.
I think the hope, I would assume, from the administration is finish out strong enough here, have a good little record, and then Keats applies and goes somewhere else. Try to avoid the buyout. But I was trying to look at the math. Is it what, like $4 million to buy him out?
It's somewhere between 4 and 5.2 from what I've gathered.
Yeah, and the problem is he'll probably never coach again, so we'll be paying that full buyout.
Old Dominion needs a coach.
I'm kidding. No, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I just think at some point you have to say, look, this isn't working. And honestly, I don't know how many of those tickets at the PNC are season tickets and sold out, quote unquote, but I can't imagine people are going to be buying them next
Let's
year.
Ask ourselves this, because I actually thought I saw the game wrong. I thought this game was in Raleigh, and I asked a question in the chat.
Yeah, it's on the
My question would be, if this game was in Raleigh at 9 o'clock on a, what is it, Tuesday, how many people are showing up? Well, and you can say, well, it's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, some people have work. I'll be willing to bet if this is a really good team, more people at least would be there than if it were in Raleigh at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday.
This Cincinnati-Houston game looks like the stands are packed.
There's nobody at this Florida State game. It is emptier than...
I think the thing is, like,
charge on DJ Burns.
This is part of my problem with college basketball. I don't – half the reason I don't tune in is because I do not want to stay up late watching a game where I feel like we're going to lose in the final minutes. And I'm going to be tired and grouchy the next day. So, I mean, these 9 o'clock tips, man, this is crazy.
Just get you a little snack, maybe popcorn and, you know.
He's a grumpy old man.
Dude, I've been waking up at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning working out like every day now. So I am just, I cannot.
Good for you.
Past 10:15. I just am a zombie. But I'll do it tonight because I'm dedicated to the cause.
Going back to the question, I'd say confidence level, 1 out of 10. I'm going to go 6.5.
So that what's he's back or that he's gone?
Yeah, I was gonna say, gone. What's your percentage gone. That he's gone? Like, what's a
no 1 out of 10, 6.5 confidence. What's your confidence level?
100%, and whatever the highest confidence level is, that he won't be back.
I say 60%.
I mean, if he goes on a run the last four games, like they're gonna win this game tonight. I think Florida State's going the wrong direction, although they. We don't match up. Kevin Keats doesn't really fare pretty well against FSU over the last few years, but
do you really think he's going
to over the last through the last four losing to Duke? Was that
and UNC
11,
right? Don't
9?
We have UNC too?
Yep.
Yeah, UNC Saturday.
So you think he's going 3-1 against two top 10 teams?
I don't think he is. I'm just saying if they do.
Oh, I just think it's this. It's ACC tournament or bust. I think. Yeah. Because here's my thing, he should go at least 2-2 to finish the stretch, and then maybe win a game or two, and then whatever. But he will be doing himself a disservice if he does not try to go get like a high major or mid major, whatever mid major is the term here. You know, go find a job elsewhere. I don't think he's a terrible coach. I just don't think he can win at this level. He needs to go drop down a level. He can run and gun and have fun, and like it's just. It just doesn't work at this level. The talent is too much. It's tighter from a talent gap perspective. The coaching is better. It's just not working out. But, I mean, look, he's not been a complete failure. That's the thing is he has – the problem has been he has just kind of repetitively kind of treaded water. And then this year you just can't reward a above 500 season like this and act like it's a real above 500
If he
season.
Was the coach at BC, they would give him a lifetime contract.
And that's the thing is like if he went and coached there that's what I'm saying is like
if he was the coach at Pitt he'd be a coach for probably damn near 10 more years. You gotta hold yourself a little bit higher standard.
I think he has a future still in coaching. I don't think this is like the end of the train. But I think NC State's administration needs to ask themselves, do you want people showing up and giving a crap, or do you want to try to save $4 million? Years ago, I think they would have said, I want to save the money. I think they are now getting to a point where they – like, I get it. The math is probably, would I rather save that money and burn it on football or another sport, basketball, women's basketball, baseball, whatever. That's probably what they've been saying themselves. But when no one is showing up for games, that is a loss of revenue. They are going to make a change. And it's whether or not they fire him or he wisely moves out so that he can control the narrative. But, yeah. I just don't see this ending any other way this season.
I hope not. This is the first time where we've... we've seen Boo be in a position where he's got to really make a tough decision. And I don't even know if it's a tough decision, but he's got to make a decision, right? It's not, we haven't had any other controversy. I don't know, it's not even the right word, but we haven't had any points where any of the major sports have had this level of, all right, you got to do something. You got to, shit or get off the pot here. So I don't know. The other question we got is, would 11-9 in the league without a tournament berth be viewed differently by Boo than 9-11 in the league without a tournament berth? So 11-9 or 9-11, no tournament, either one.
Oh, my God. I don't know how many times I got to beat this dead horse. Who cares? You're not in the tournament. You're not winning games in March.
You don't have to be disparaging to our questioner.
He's one of our audience. I'm sorry, questioner.
I would.
Win in March. That's what I care about. I don't care what your ACC is.
So the answer is no, it shouldn't be, because your metric for success is the tournament.
Yeah.
That's what Matt was trying to say in a not so eloquent way.
Unless, it's like if you went 11-9 after you lost Devin Daniels or something like that, right? And you'd built your whole team around this player, that's a little different. But this is, again, it just is what it is, man. When DJ Byrne showed up out of shape, I was like, this team is probably boned. That was the harbinger to me. So, but you just think, just go on a run, just win the fucking ACC tournament. So that I can just say, thank God, you can stay here forever, dude. But he won't. If he did that, he should go immediately cash that in elsewhere. I'm sure. I don't know why Boo would look at that any differently. 9-11, 11-9, it's the same thing.
All right. Curious about the pod's take on the money influence behind basketball and whether that's likely to steer us towards the Ryan Odoms of the world, or we think Boo will take some shots. That's a good question.
I think it's going back to your point, Evan, is how serious does NC State want to take basketball? Right. You got to swing big if you want to hit a home run. And I hope that this administration isn't worried about just getting on base.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. We'll find out, right? We'll find out if Boo's going to make it. We call it inspiring hire, right?
There's a real divide right now between the fans. You're either on this side or that side.
Is that
on Twitter? I don't think that's real.
No. It's not real. It's a very vocal minority that is behind Kevin Keats. The vast majority of people, and again, I will encourage people to get off of social media and talk to people in the real world. The vast majority of people are I'm over it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
The question becomes, does Boo stand on his own, or does he placate the basketball money group and let them make the decision, which is scary, but is what's been happening for a long time.
So are they the ones that want Odom? I wasn't understanding the money portion of the question. Are they saying we don't have money, or are they saying the money
referring to the NIL collective version of Savage Wolves for basketball, but the insider
you can get Odom for cheaper.
I think that's... you say, gentlemen, you've done a great job of getting us to 500. Maybe we should do things a little differently.
I mean, right. It shouldn't be that. And there's rumors that Boo likes Ryan Odom for whatever reason. And he's an ACC guy and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. It would be the most uninspiring hire you could make as an NC State admin. I don't know who's making that decision. I think Boo's got to, either way, he's got to stand on his own and say, listen, we ain't doing this. We're going to shoot big.
But so can someone tell me? I have not looked into this guy at all. What's Ryan Odom's credentials?
He's at VCU right now. First year there. He's at Utah State. Utah State is having a better year than the year after he left. VCU is currently
not in the
tournament.
So he set them up for success.
Yeah, set them up for success is the right way to look at it. He was at University of Maryland, Baltimore County, when they beat UVA as the 16 versus 1.
Okay.
And now he's at VCU, who is 17 and 11 or something like that.
Is he related to Dave Odom? Is he?
Yes.
Does he have a connection? Okay. Is yes. he like his son, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. So a little bit of
That's
ACC.
That's why there's like the ACC connection.
Okay. So if I'm Boo and I have not made a significant hire whatsoever yet, I don't know. Did he ever even hire anyone? Was he at any place other than Army? Was he AD anywhere else?
I don't know.
I don't think so, right?
Resume is before Army, to be honest.
But this guy has like never hired anybody. So wouldn't he want to like be like, let's make a splash. Let's go have some fun.
Right. I mean, in theory, this should be his.
Just overpay. Give me something. Give me Calipari. Give me something. Go crazy, okay?
Yeah.
Go crazy one time, and then you can go back and get the cheap guy. I don't care at that point. But,
right.
Like, my whole thing is just get someone who can do X's and O's. I was adamant that once the money was flowing in NIL, it didn't become about who you can buy off necessarily from the AAU circuit anymore under the table, right? Now it's just like, hey, come here. We have money. Can you draw up a play? Can you manage a roster? You know, do I have to worry about you behind scenes like I did with Mark Gottfried? Like, just give me a basketball coach, like someone who can just freaking coach. There's plenty of talent here. We have gotten plenty of talent over the years. It's never been a problem, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, though, in the last, you know, for the fans' sake, you need to make an inspiring hire. You need somebody to rejuvenate. And we'll rally behind whoever it is, but it's going to be a hard sell if you hire a guy like Odom who just doesn't have the resume right now. He might be a good coach, I don't know, but I just don't know how you sell a guy who's essentially Kevin Keats' same record, like without the championships. And I think that's tough. It's a tough sell.
Did you say that Odom and Boo like have a connection, or are they used to?
So Odom is from Durham, and he was assistant coach at UNC Asheville. He was the assistant coach at UNC Charlotte, and then became the interim head coach. And then he was a head coach at D2 Lenoir Ryan. So like he's been around in the area for quite some time.
And so is Boo and his family with the old connection. So I'm sure there's a connection somewhere, and I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's just been the name that's been thrown around a lot from people in the know, using quotes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my question would be, I guess, like, how long is this ride? Like, let's say, you know, they do keep Keats, whatever happens this season, right? Let's say they do go on an NIT run, or they don't, or whatever, right? You know, how long is long enough? Is this going to be like a 2-year thing, a 3-year thing? Because if you wrote it out for 7 years and you're still doing this, it just seems like they're in it for the long haul.
Isn't his contract to 26, I think? 26 or 27? He had optioned out like a 2-year thing. So, I mean, that's the thing is, like, what are you going to do? Just, like, hang him around and have him hang around and be like, well, I'm not going to extend you. Like,
Unless maybe they do. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I would just have to see something.
The game is officially on ESPN2, by the way. They are 10 minutes into the first half.
Well, 17-20. I'm watching.
Florida State.
Are we wearing black?
No, we're in
black. They are. We're in white with the throwbacks with the thing on the side. The weird pattern.
I guess I have a question.
Go ahead.
For as far as basketball goes, like I think your number one necessity is, you know, make sure that Dennis Parker is back on this roster. You know, he needs to be a focal point. I thought he showed a lot of flash and, you know, just stopped playing.
Freshman wall. I would say stop playing. It's hard for freshmen to.
That's fine, but like he showed some real promise.
Agreed.
Like you know, in a day and age where like it's so easy to just walk out the door, and if another coach sees that, you know, why not go take a risk on him? But I guess my question would be like, what's the number two, you know, to do list? Like what's second on that to do list?
Jay Rice just like not going to be here. What's
you can't back
up in the air right now?
Yeah. That's a good question, man. I don't know. I mean, make sure Paul McNeil gets to campus.
That's another one that could be up in the air, you know?
Freshman up. Yeah, exactly.
Without saying decide on Keats, like, everything
no,
just
yeah,
goes,
you know, I know what
you're
saying.
You know what I mean?
Kinda, you have to make a decision, though, right? Because you got to try to retain if there's guys you want to retain and bring in, right? Like, if you were going to go a different way, you got to do it. And that's why I was saying, like, you don't do the NIT. You say, no, I'm not doing the NIT so I can start my coaching search. But
oh, God, they're definitely going to do the NIT.
There's, I mean, why? It probably costs you more money to go to the NIT than play in it.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right, this is a loaded question, so just give me your reaction more than anything. Why is half or more of the fan base content with being mediocre? NC State has a long history of success, but it seems as if half the fan base are risk adverse and they don't want change when it's obvious change is needed.
I mean, you want that or?
Well, I feel like half the fan base doesn't even pay attention right now. So, like,
that's a problem. Yeah, I think this is the vocal minority on NC State. I mean, on social media, and the administration is the ones that I would point this question to, because we've let coaches linger far too long, far too often. And now I think in today's day and age, you should be able to move on faster than ever, right? You should be able to rebuild the program and move on.
We should really get the pulse of the fan base of who liked the, what was it, like the cookbook thing that they did?
Oh, God, yeah, the apron, right? The apron and the how to cheer for DJ Burns.
That's a sign that you need to change things. Also, you probably need to fire everyone that was involved with that decision.
Yes.
I don't know. Just.
I think a lot of people are living in hope right now. I think for a program that hasn't seen a whole lot of success over the last 2-3 decades, any kind of like, you know, maybe this could work out. You know, why jump ship now? I think is maybe the reason why.
Yeah, I think it's part of that. I think it's part of how we've historically bungled a lot of these searches, and we've ended up with Les Robinson and Sidney Lowe, and gave Herb 10 years, and you know, Mark Gottfried for however you think of that 10-year. I mean, I just think there's not a lot of what the root problem. I think people don't have faith in the administration to do it right. And I think that is probably where the apathy or the being okay with mediocre sets in. It's like, you know, we've heard it before. Who else are we going to hire? Right. That's a very low expectation. That's not a program. Your reflection of the program is a reflection of your administration and your department.
But what I would say to that point is look at who we've retained. Like, Wes Moore's pretty good. I'm sure people were coming for him. Pat Populazio. I mean, I know we're not talking about a rev sport here, right? But you can kind of go down the list. Like, there's a lot of talent that's been retained, football in particular, and, like, the money for hires and things like that that have been done there. So, like, I mean, today Dave was, like, really emphatic about Boo and the help he's had in retaining the coaches and making things easier for him. So that's why I'm like, I think we just haven't gotten to see him do it for a major sport. So everyone's kind of like, well, what's going to happen if he had some point had to go in and like bring in a big hire in like a known sport? Like if he had to make a change at Dave at some point or Dave moved on, people would be like, well, okay, look, he just brought in whomever, right? That sets the bar for what we'd expect, but we have no whomever to judge.
What year is Dave in? 10, 11?
11.
11?
11.
Do you think that people fall victim of, like, comparing football and basketball? Like, you know, it's been 11 years with Dorian, so in year 11, we finally feel like, you know, college football playoffs? You know, maybe? Like, a lot of people are thinking that
now. Well, that's what Dave said today. He was like, you know, you got 12 teams, and we've been in the top 20 a bunch of times, so we actually have a chance to knock on the door for once. So, like,
Do you think people are, like, putting it side by side? Like, you know, if we keep him around long enough, maybe we can get to the tournament and make a run.
If they are, I don't think it's really fair because at least with Dave, you could kind of see some progress. Like Dave built from a turd and then kept improving. And if he didn't have an injury-riddled season in 2019, who knows how different things would be because there was so much fallout from that season in particular, recruiting, coach retention, things like that, that kind of changed things. But like, just look at his track record. He has been meeting he's been setting the bar, and he has been at least landing in the top 25 of a sport that's very difficult to do consistently. The consistency that Dave Doran has would be like the equivalent. I mean, I have an opinion, would be the equivalent of making the tournament almost every single year here. That's what Dave's job has been. Now, he is sucked in bowl games because I don't think he's given a crap, but
the trajectory has been at least somewhat going up.
Yeah. He's at least been in contention for an ACC title appearance multiple times. Like, that's, you can't say that about Kevin. You can't barely say it. Couldn't even really say it about Mark Gottfried.
I mean, he made Bailey Hockman, what, an eight-game winning quarterback?
Yeah. Like, you gotta break it down. There were very specific games that Bailey Hockman won, and then there were a lot of games that Bailey Hockman lost. Don't get me started on this.
I think anybody who does that is being disingenuous. It's lazy, and it's just not worth getting into the conversation with those people, because I just don't think that's, I don't think there's a correlation there. I think we kind of talked about this. What needs to happen to begin caring about men's basketball again? Just be exciting, be fun, be half good, be more consistent enough where you're winning more than losing, and it's not a coin flip. I think those things are steps in the right direction. And then, hey, start making the tournament on a regular basis. And, you can just see some teams have it, some teams don't. I think that's what we've got. That's kind of where we are. We've just been the level of our talent. That's what it is. I don't know if I want to get to this question, but I'll give me two answers to this question. Realistic options for head coach replacement. Give me your first two you think of.
It has to be Will Wade. I don't even know if that is realistic or not, but you need to make it realistic. I think a lot of NC State fans are going to hate me for this one, and maybe I'm overselling him a little bit, but I really do think he is just a good coach. And Evan, I know that you don't want a Tar Heel, but my dude Wes for Cincy is just, if he didn't go to Carolina, I just would love to have him. And I understand why people don't want him, and I can fully get behind that. I'm just saying, from a coaching perspective standpoint, I just think he's a really good coach.
Hey, give me two, Will.
Well, ever heard of Billy Donovan, guys? I'm going back through the playbook.
On campus. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Will Wade, I mean, we wanted him before, right? And now that cheating is legal, why wouldn't you want him again?
Yes.
I'd love to just flip. I'm going back to the old Rolodex, right? But it's like, if you could get Will Wade or – so is Kentucky definitely getting rid of Calipari? No,
it's not for sure. Thing.
I could never see that happening.
I just really want to – as I've said before, I want – time is a flat circle. I want to complete this thing, put his name back up on the door – bring him back. Come back home, John. You know you were supposed to be here. It's not our fault that we had an incompetent AD at the time.
I'd love to have Calipari. I just don't know if Kentucky ever – that's a big move. That's a big one. I'm gonna replace Wes. I'm going to go an impossible one that, Evan, you said. Greg McDermott, he's never going to leave
Creighton. I was literally just going to say that. I just said, get Greg McDermott, dude. Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, I would love to have Greg McDermott.
I was going
to
call him Doug McDermott, though. So.
No, his son, Dougie McBuckets.
I can tell you for sure, with 100% certainty, that ain't happening. He's not going to sign his 10-year contract at Creighton.
Mark Few?
Knows for a fact. And Louisville had him on his list. And they are not going to get him.
Don't you want angry Herb? I want Mick Cronin. That's another one where I just laugh every time when you tell me how it was just like people are like, he just looks too much like Herb.
Right.
And it's like,
does
his basketball?
That's some dumb NC State stuff that people have bought into at the time.
That is a money comment. That had to be a quote from one of the money guys. But looks too much like Herb. Can't do that. I sit too close to this guy. He looks like him.
Yeah.
What about Herb? Yeah. Just bring back Herb.
Still being 500 or banana slugs or wherever he is.
Does who used to give us all that shit for firing him? Was that Goodman?
Yes. Yeah. And pretty much everybody, but yes. And then
hire Goodman as director of comms.
That'll go for swimmingly. All right. Any other basketball points you want to make before there's some other questions we'll run through?
I'm gonna What's going on with women's team?
Not so good. They're on a struggle bus slightly. They're still good enough. Everybody has ups and downs. It's a bad time to have it down, but maybe they'll get it right.
I mean, are they still a tournament team?
Yeah, they're third in the ACC, yeah. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't – I don't know if that means anything anymore.
Right, right, yeah. Right, right.
For UVA, yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree with punishing UVA, mainly because my wife is a fan, but, you know, that style of basketball should be put in the Stone Age.
40-point games back to back to back. That is tough to do.
I just – 24-point game.
I just can't believe people show up for that every week. To go watch that in person. Yeah. I remember I watched it in person. I was like, this is so hard to watch.
It was the year that they won the ACC championship a while back. I shouldn't say a while back, but a couple years back. It was here in Greensboro, and I was at that game, if I'm remembering this correctly. There was a great amount of Virginia fans. I mean, I know it's probably not that crazy of a drive, but, yeah, they are diehard fans for some very boring basketball.
Yeah. I'm going to save these football questions for later. We'll address them later.
Thank you.
Farther to spring. Some random questions. When are we going to talk baseball?
No.
More towards when. Well, not with these two. I'll get Zach on when basketball is over.
I'd love to talk the MLB uniform situation sometime.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, they're ugly. They redid the uniforms and they're just absolutely terrible. You can see through the pants now and it's bad.
Which golf ball do you play and why that particular ball? That's an interesting question.
I got to answer.
Go ahead. What you got?
Matt's
a little guy. I am a whatever I can find in the woods kind of guy because I lost my ball like a hole or two ago.
Probably a lot of Pro V1s.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, I go over to Play It Again Sports and they just have a bucket of just like a dollar a ball, like Pro V1s, and I just stack up on those.
I love that. What are you playing right now?
Oh, you know me, man. I'm a stripe.
It's a great ball.
I cannot stop playing. I love that ball, especially for putting. My backup ball is the, oh my gosh, what is it? The triple track. Chrome Soft or whatever it is. Yeah.
Chrome Soft.
Yeah. That's my backup just because I'm cheap and I can't justify the pervy one.
I switched to the Srixon Z-Star Diamond this past year because I've just been ripping the cover off Pro V's. I have a real steep descent angle and they don't last. Z-Star's been a really good ball for me. So, all right. So I did get humbled. There's a pod listener who is a plus five and I'm like, holy poop. I thought I was good. Plus five is.
Holy, is that?
Me and Chase. Me and Chase are going to get out and play one of these days. I got to see this kid strike the ball.
Plus five. My gosh. Yeah. That would be awesome to watch. I was going to say the other thing I started playing was some of the Vice balls. We got some, you know, customized ones for a little training we did up here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're actually way better than I thought they would be.
Yeah. They discolor a little too quick for me. Like they look like they're older when they're new.
Okay. But, that's a vintage, you know,
Red and white golf tournament. Maybe get it on a video.
Oh yeah, God.
We need to,
it's been threatened for many a year.
Yeah,
I'd be down.
Srixon Z-Star Diamond has been my ball. It's been real good. It's the most popular ball in the world. I just found that out too.
We are down 10 points to this dumpster ass team. I know,
I'm watching this train wreck. Breon! Oh, that was Jaden. That was Jaden.
We don't need another Will I Am and T-Pain situation.
I will have to say this, guys. I was assembling a greenhouse in my backyard, and I remember I was just standing there about to put a stake in the ground, and you guys started saying, or Evan started saying that.
Yeah, don't put me in this.
Who did you say was in the Black Eyed Peas? And I was like, there's no way that guy was in there.
They're so close.
Come on. I feel like he's talking about Will I Am. And then When you said I just nonsense. Like cackled yeah. out loud in my backyard, I looked like a crazy man. I couldn't believe it. And I said, I got to watch basketball so I can go talk on this stupid pod.
Do you have any fiery debates or you want to talk about the whole T-Pain, Akon? What's your take?
I got zero.
Oh, all right.
Zero.
Got, oh, wait, Evan. Yeah.
No. I got, dang there's it. There's two questions here that I want to get to, and then I'm going to bring mine up.
Okay, great.
If you have an exotic pet, what would it be? I love that question. I don't know why. Exotic pet.
Is a hawk exotic?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll do a hawk.
Dog or cat.
That'd be kind of cool, just like to stand out on my balcony and just kind of put my arm out and boom, he's there. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be very cool. Will's going to end up with like a mongoose or something.
No, I was going to say an octopus.
Okay.
Ever since whatever that World Cup was where they had the octopus that was guessing the games by throwing the ball at the thing or whatever. Yeah.
Go watch Mark Rober's latest video with the octopus. They're brilliant little creatures. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. They're super smart.
Yeah. Crazy smart. I was going to say like a manatee, but like a wolf would be badass too. Kind of like Matt and his hawk, but having a wolf walking next to you the whole time, like that would be cool as shit.
What an incredible spread there. Manatee or wolf?
I love manatee.
I assume you want the manatee because that means you're on a waterfront property.
Yeah, right?
You know?
I was in Florida in spring break and I jumped in the water and hugged a manatee. It was fun. They're big fluffy things. Yeah.
Oh, man. Gosh.
All right, so my debate, and I put it in the pod chat the day, and then everybody immediately reacted, and I bet the listeners, if they make it this far, would react the same way, but I think they're wrong. And I said DJ Horn or Turquavion Smith.
Baby T. Mm-mm. Also, I rethought, I want one of those giant Galapagos turtles. That's what I want.
A chimp would be fun, too. Silverback. Like, nobody messes with you walking around with a silverback.
What would be the... So
DJ Horn is...
I think DJ Horn is the answer. But does that include, like, wins or, like, tournament appearances? Like,
no, just like...
Is it just player versus player?
Just, like... As part of a team. Like, individually, I think Turquavion probably beats him one-on-one.
Right.
As part of a team... DJ Horn is a lot less frustrating to watch. And it's maybe, again, it might be recency bias. I'm into biases this week, apparently. But it might be recency bias because he's been playing really well the last, like, 2 months.
What's
and Turquavion would just come down the court and jack a 40-footer with 30 seconds on the shot clock. You're like, what are you doing? Like, DJ Horn doesn't do that.
What is, what's DJ's volume numbers, like, compared to – I mean, it felt like with T, right? It was just, like – What, 40 shots a game, it felt like?
Yeah.
And DJ Horn's leading the league in three-point makes, three-point percentage, and something else three-point related. Like, it's – I don't – and he's not just a three-point shooter. Like, I think Turquavion settled a lot, would just stand there and end up shooting. DJ Horn's been doing it all. He's been getting to the rim. He's been – I don't know.
DJ Horn is seventh right now in the ACC in scoring.
Yeah. Turquavion's, he would just like bounce off bodies and not get fouls. Like, I mean, and he would constantly make these circus shots. So he'd make them and you'd be like, that's great. But he was doing it because he was avoiding contact and not getting to the line. So yeah, I guess.
DJ Horn is also leading the ACC in 3-point field goal percentage.
Yeah.
And he is top three in 3-pointers per game.
Can I be honest? The guy I'd rather have is Darren Sebron. I just loved that dude. That's the guy. I was thinking the other day we should do like an all that guy team for NC State. Like, who would be like your super random dude that you're like, God, that's the guy.
That could
like,
be
for
fun.
Me, Kyle Washington was that dude. I love watching that dude truck down the court after plays, right? And he would just be running like I can't even describe how. The chin was out. He had such weird long strides. Like, it just looked like, I was like, that guy must be running like Usain Bolt style, like down there. He's probably going super slow, but man, it looked awesome.
Marcus Melvin was one of those guys for me.
Marcus Melvin. What a blast from the past.
Yeah. I liked watching him play. Sweet left-handed shooting guy. But yeah, I don't know. I think the Turquavion DJ Horn debate is a lot closer than people think.
Like, sucks that we're only going to get him for 1 year, and this is kind of the year that we're having.
Wait, so is he going pro, or do we think he's going elsewhere?
Well, this is his last year.
Oh, DJ Horn's a senior?
Mm-hmm.
He's a grad senior. He's been here for been in college for like 7 years.
Could you imagine what Turquavion would have been as a grad senior?
Good.
I mean, multiple 50-point games, I'm assuming.
Multiple 50-point shot attempts.
That's fine. I don't care. My whole thing is, like, just give it to the best guy. It's like with Burns. I don't understand how that dude doesn't have more attempts. Like, everything should be going through him when he's in the game. Same thing. It's like, whatever. I don't care. If Turquavion's going to be the guy, fine. I get it. He's going to shoot 85 times in the game. But just stick to it. Stick to your identity. That's one of the things I hate about the team this year is that it's so helter-skelter. And then you have, like, who is it? Is it Tate? No, what's the guy's damn name? Who's the guy that's like a complete spaz? He's like really good on defense, and he like literally like threw the ball to a Syracuse player the other day.
Taylor?
Jordan Taylor? Jaden Taylor. Yeah, I don't ever want to see that guy shoot the ball. But I love his defense. But
it's so weird. Like, his minutes have been just so strange. He will play 4 minutes in the first half and then 20 in the second half. And you're like, and he will shoot 17 times. Like, dude, stop shooting. Go play defense.
But that's like where, as a coach, you have to be like, guys, the offense isn't to go through you. You are to set up the offense.
Right.
And like, it's just stuff like that that drives me nuts. Where I'm like, you are standing on the sideline, Kevin. Can you not literally like rein the one guy in that needs to get reined in the minute? And just
did you
get
just
it?
See the turnover from Mike O'Connell?
Yeah, I did just watch that.
I see a bunch of people high.
How about the transition defense where nobody went to cover the three?
It's amazing. All right, let's go watch this game and get off of here. This is ridiculous. But that was fun. Appreciate y'all joining. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you made it this far. Let us know what exotic pet of choice would be. I really want to know what people come up with. I got a feeling we're going to get some gorillas and kangaroos and stuff.
$10, you're going to have someone say something like a weird owl or something like that.
Dude, owls are badass.
But that's a nighttime pet, and it doesn't want to deal with you.
An owl that's over true. A hawk?
I mean, hawks are badass,
Harry
too.
Harry Potter, bro?
Only 100 times.
I knew I was the wrong person to say that to.
Yeah.
All right, as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the pod. Thanks, Matt and Will, for your time. Will, hope you can get on the pod at some point again in the future. It's nice having you back.
We'll try.
And I can't find my outro music for some reason, so I don't know where it went. So,
g'day, kid Neds. There you go. Yeah. I did it for you.
I got this one.
No, we saved this for very special occasions. You shouldn't burn that here.
I'm not. There it is. Okay. All right. Y'all have a good one. Go back.